You lose the moment you stop feeling hungry for more. If you want a better life, you have to keep the same drive you had when you had nothing. Most people work hard only until they reach a little success. Then they relax, they get comfortable, and they wonder why things stop growing. The truth is, comfort kills progress. You have to stay hungry means you never allow yourself to think, "I've made it." It means you wake up with a reason, you move through the day with purpose, and you go to bed knowing you gave more than you planned. Hunger keeps you focused, sharp, and ready for the next step. Without it, you slowly fall behind. In this session, I'm going to show you how to keep that fire alive every single day so you never lose your edge and so life keeps moving in the direction you want. Chapter 1. Start each day knowing no one will hand you success. You have to wake up each morning with a clear understanding of one thing. No one is going to hand you success. Not your family, not your friends, not your boss, not the government, not a lucky break. The sooner you accept this, the sooner you start building a life that's yours. Too many people sit around waiting for a phone call, waiting for a miracle, waiting for someone to notice them. They think if they're patient enough, if they wait long enough, something good will happen. But here's the truth. Time doesn't give you success. Time only passes. Action is what changes your life. When you wake up, you have to feel a sense of responsibility for your own future. You have to see the day ahead as an opportunity to create, to move forward, to make progress, no matter how small. You can't depend on others to pull you up, because people are busy fighting for their own survival. And even if they care about you, they cannot give you the drive you need. That drive has to come from you. You're the one who has to want it badly enough to get out of bed earlier, to put in extra work, to keep going when you're tired. Think about it. If no one is coming to save you, then your choices, your habits, and your decisions decide everything. That's not a reason to be afraid. That's a reason to feel powerful. It means you hold the steering wheel. You decide how far you'll go. You decide how much you'll learn. You decide how much effort you'll put in today. Some people wake up hoping the world will finally recognize their talent. They think someone will knock on their door and say, "Here's the opportunity you've been waiting for." But the reality is, recognition comes after you've proven you deserve it. Opportunity comes after you've shown you can handle it. You can't sit on the couch and expect life to reward you. Life rewards the ones who prepare, who move, who work when no one is watching. You have to create your own momentum. Every morning you need to ask yourself, "What am I going to do today that moves me closer to my goals?" And that question isn't answered with vague hopes. It's answered with clear action. If you want a better career, what will you study today? What skill will you improve today? If you want more income, what extra value will you bring to the table today? The people who achieve big results understand that the world doesn't stop for them. They understand no one owes them a chance. They build their own chances. They walk into rooms where they aren't invited by becoming so good at what they do that people can't ignore them. And that doesn't happen by accident. It happens because every single day they get up and take ownership. You have to see your mornings as the foundation of your life. When the alarm goes off, that moment is your first test of the day. Do you hit the snooze button because it's easy? Or do you get up because you know your future depends on it? You're either making a choice to control your day or letting the day control you. And when you allow too many days to control you, you look up one day and realize nothing has changed. Success is not built on one big breakthrough. It's built on hundreds and thousands of small decisions. Waking up on time, starting the work when you don't feel like it, finishing the task when you're tired, saying no to what wastes your time, saying yes to what challenges you. Those moments stack up, and when you stay consistent with them, they turn into results you can see and feel. It's not enough to want success. You have to want it enough to work for it without applause, without approval, without anyone telling you you're doing a good job, because most of the time, no one will say it. And that's fine. Your job is not to collect praise. Your job is to build your life. If you start each day waiting for someone else to give you direction, you're already behind. You have to give yourself direction. You have to know what matters and then commit to it without needing someone else to push you. Self-discipline is what keeps you moving when no one is looking over your shoulder. It's what makes you start the work before anyone asks for it. Remember this. People who win in life are not the ones who are simply more talented or luckier. There are those who are better. The people who win in life are not the ones who are simply more talented or luckier. They are the ones who take ownership from the first minute of the day to the last. They don't wait for someone to give them permission. They don't wait for ideal conditions. They work with what they have and they keep moving forward. There will be days when you feel like the world is unfair. Days when you think someone else got a head start you didn't have. Days when you wonder why opportunities are going to others instead of you. But the truth is, you can't spend your life comparing your path to theirs. That doesn't change anything. The only thing you can control is what you do right now. The only thing you can change is the level of effort you put in today. You have to be honest with yourself every morning. Ask yourself, if no one ever came to help me, could I still build the life I want? If the answer is no, then you know you have work to do. If the answer is yes, then you understand that you already hold the power. You just have to use it. The hunger to succeed doesn't come from waiting, it comes from doing. You have to create your own urgency. You have to give yourself reasons to push harder. Maybe you want to take care of your family. Maybe you want to prove something to yourself. Maybe you want freedom from a life you don't enjoy. Whatever it is, you have to keep it in front of you every day so it drives your actions. If you're serious about building something meaningful, stop looking for shortcuts. Stop hoping someone else will hand you the perfect situation. That perfect situation doesn't exist. You have to create the best possible situation with what's in front of you. And the way you do that is by starting your day with the mindset that everything you want must be earned. When you start your mornings with this understanding, you stop wasting time. You stop looking for easy options. You start making choices that move you forward. You don't skip the hard work because you know it's the price you pay for results. And you stop waiting for people to notice you because you realize you'll make them notice through your actions. If you wake up every day expecting life to give you success, you will always be disappointed. But if you wake up ready to go after it, ready to work for it, ready to fight for it, you'll find yourself moving forward faster than most people around you, and you'll do it without waiting for anyone to hand you anything. The day you stop expecting others to carry you is the day you start carrying yourself, and that's when you begin to see change. Because now you're not depending on luck or a break or someone else's approval. You're depending on your own willingness to work, and that is the most reliable thing you can ever have. Wake up tomorrow with the mindset that it's all on you. No one is going to do the work for you. No one is going to give you the life you dream about. It's your job to build it. And if you keep showing up, keep doing the work, keep holding yourself to the highest standard every single day, there will come a point when you look back and realize you didn't need anyone to hand you success. You created it yourself. That's when you know you've stayed hungry. And that's when you know you've started to win. Chapter 2. Work like someone else is ready to take your place. If you want to keep what you have, and if you want to earn more than you have now, you need to work as if someone else is right behind you, ready to take your place. That's the reality of the world. No matter what you do, there's someone out there who would be happy to have your position, your opportunities, your clients, your skills, and your place in line. They might be hungrier, they might be putting in more hours, and they might be willing to do what you're not willing to do. If that thought doesn't make you step up your game, then you've already started falling behind. Complacency is the silent killer of progress. The moment you believe your spot is secure, you start taking it for granted. You slow down without realizing it. You stop learning new things. You stop improving your skills. And while you're enjoying the comfort of thinking you've made it, someone else is out there practicing, studying, and preparing to outperform you. They're staying ready so that when an opening comes, they're the one who gets chosen. This doesn't mean you should live in fear. It means you should live with urgency. It means you should treat every day like it matters. If you knew someone was watching you today, measuring your performance and deciding whether to replace you or promote you, how would you work? Would you give half effort, or would you make sure every task was done with precision, speed, and quality? The truth is, that's exactly how life works. Except you don't always know when the evaluation is happening. Except you don't always know when the evaluation is happening. Opportunities and challenges come without warning, and you have to be prepared at all times. Think about the people you admire most in your field or in life. They're not there because they did the bare minimum. They're there because they outworked others consistently. They kept learning when others were relaxing. They stayed disciplined when others got lazy. They refused to let themselves become replaceable. That's the attitude you need to adopt, not because you're competing with everyone else in a hostile way, but because the world rewards those who keep striving to be better than they were yesterday. Every job, every business, every skill has competition. If you're a business owner, your competitors are constantly thinking about how to take your customers. If you're an employee, there are people applying for your job right now who would be thrilled to have it. If you're self-employed, there are people building the same product or service and trying to reach your audience faster than you. That's reality, and ignoring it doesn't make it go away. The only way to stay ahead is to work like someone is always ready to take your place. That doesn't mean you burn yourself out. It means you stay sharp. It means you never stop refining your skills. It means you keep finding ways to add more value than you did last week. If you produced 10 good results last month, aim for 12 this month. If you made 5 strong connections yesterday, aim for 6 today. Improvement is what keeps you relevant. In every area of life, there's a point where people get comfortable. They start believing that what they've done in the past is enough to secure their future. But the world doesn't work that way. Past effort only got you to where you are. It can't keep you there. If you stop moving forward, you're not just standing still. You're falling behind because someone else is moving forward while you're not. You need to develop the mindset that every day is a tryout. Every day, you're showing the world and yourself that you deserve your place. When you walk into work, when you start your training, when you begin your project, act as if this is your one chance to prove you belong there. That energy, that focus, that sense of urgency will separate you from the people who are just doing enough to get by. A big mistake people make is assuming loyalty from the market, from their company, or even from people around them. Loyalty is valuable, but it's not guaranteed. The best way to keep your position is not by expecting loyalty. It's by making yourself too valuable to lose. And value comes from performance, from reliability, from consistency, and from a willingness to keep improving. If you've been in your role for a long time, you have an advantage. Experience. But experience alone won't keep you at the top. You need to combine it with adaptability. The market changes, industries evolve, technology moves forward, and customer expectations grow. If you're not willing to grow with it, you'll eventually get replaced by someone who is. The hunger to keep your place comes from understanding that nothing is permanent. You can have the best month or the best year of your life, but if you stop working like someone is trying to take your place, that success will fade. The moment you relax too much, someone else will be right there to step in. That's why you should never stop learning. Take courses, read books, talk to people who are ahead of you. Watch what others in your field are doing, not to copy them, but to understand what's working and how you can do it better. Improvement isn't a one-time event, it's a daily commitment. And when you're tired, when you feel like you've done enough, that's when you need to push a little more. Because that's exactly the moment when most people quit for the day. If you can keep going when others stop, you will always have the edge. That extra hour, that extra call, that extra effort, it compounds over time. It's the difference between staying ahead and falling behind. Working like someone is ready to take your place also means holding yourself to higher standards than anyone else does. Don't wait for your boss, your clients, or your audience to demand more from you. Demand it from yourself first. If your work is good, make it excellent. If you're already delivering results, find ways to deliver them faster, more efficiently, and with higher quality. Excellence is what keeps you secure. It's not just about speed or output. It's also about attitude. The way you show up matters. Do you approach your work with energy, focus, and pride? Or do you move through your day just trying to get it over with? People notice. Clients notice. Colleagues notice. And when opportunities come, they tend to go to the ones who consistently show up with a high level of commitment. If you've ever lost a position or missed out on an opportunity, think back to why it happened. Was there someone else who was more prepared, more persistent, more willing to put in the work? Use that memory as fuel. Use it to remind yourself that there's always someone out there who wants the same thing you do. The difference is whether you want it more. But don't misunderstand, this isn't about paranoia. It's about professionalism. It's about respecting the fact that every spot, every position, every opportunity is earned, not given. You don't keep it because you've had it for a long time. You keep it because you prove every day that you deserve it now. You also have to take care of yourself physically and mentally if you want to maintain this level of effort. Energy is a resource, and if you burn it recklessly, you won't be able to sustain high performance. Eat well, sleep enough, exercise, and take breaks when needed. You're not working like someone is ready to take your place if you're too exhausted to perform. The goal is to stay strong for the long run. One of the biggest advantages you can have is reliability. If you say you'll do something, do it. If you promise a deadline, hit it. If you commit to a standard, keep it. People remember consistency and it builds trust. And trust is what makes people want to keep you around, even when there are other options available. At the same time, don't wait for opportunities to be assigned to you. Look for them. Take initiative. If there's a problem no one wants to solve, solve it. If there's a task that's been sitting unfinished, finish it. If there's a way to make something better, do it. People who take ownership are much harder to replace than people who just follow instructions. The mindset of working like someone is ready to take your place isn't about competing with everyone else all the time. It's about competing with the person you were yesterday. It's about knowing that if you're not improving, you're making room for someone else to pass you. When you live with this mindset, you naturally separate yourself from the majority. Most people stop pushing once they feel comfortable. Most people think security means they can slow down. But comfort is a trap. The ones who stay at the top know that comfort is the first sign they need to push harder. You don't have to be paranoid, but you do have to be prepared. You have to act as if your position is something you're earning today, not something you earned in the past. That keeps you sharp, that keeps you valuable, and that keeps you in control of your future. Work with the understanding that every day is a test, even if no one tells you it is. Because one day there will be a real test, a moment when someone is considered to replace you, or a chance appears for you to move higher. If you've been working like that day could come at any time, you'll be ready. And when you're ready, you win. Chapter 3. Raise your standards the moment you reach your current goal. When you hit a goal, that's the exact moment you should start thinking about your next one. Too many people reach a target and then pause for too long, as if the work is over. They let the satisfaction of achievement convince them to relax, to slow down, and before they realize it, they lose the momentum they worked so hard to build. The danger of staying at the same standard after reaching a goal is that life doesn't stop moving. The world keeps advancing, competition keeps growing, and circumstances keep changing. If you don't raise your standards immediately, you run the risk of falling behind without even noticing it. Reaching a goal should be proof to yourself that you are capable of more. It's not the end of the journey, it's a checkpoint. When you've worked hard, pushed yourself, and finally accomplished something, it's the perfect moment to take advantage of the energy, discipline, and confidence you've built along the way. The worst thing you can do is waste that momentum. Success is a signal that you've built the skills, habits, and mindset to operate at a higher level. So why stay at the old one? Raising your standards isn't just about aiming for a bigger goal. It's about expecting more from yourself in every area of life. If you've been hitting a certain number in your business, increase that target. If you've been training at a certain intensity, push it up. If you've been learning a skill at a basic level, commit to mastering it. The process of aiming higher keeps you sharp. It prevents you from becoming stagnant. It forces you to keep growing, and growth is what keeps life exciting and meaningful. The truth is, the moment you decide your current standard is enough, is the moment you stop evolving. Comfort starts creeping in. You begin repeating what you already know instead of seeking new challenges, and slowly, without realizing it, your edge starts to dull. This doesn't happen overnight, it's gradual. That's why you have to be intentional. You have to consciously decide that, once you've reached one level, you're already preparing for the next. It's not about chasing goals for the sake of staying busy. It's about refusing to let your potential go unused. Every time you achieve something, you prove to yourself that you can operate at a certain level. That proof should make you curious. If I can do this, what else can I do? That question is what drives progress. It's what keeps you from settling for less than what you're capable of. One reason people fail to raise their standards after reaching a goal is that they become attached to the feeling of accomplishment. They like the sense of being done with the hard part, so they hold on to that instead of pushing forward. But here's the problem. If you only live off past achievements, they eventually lose their power. You stop feeling proud of them because you're no longer growing. The only way to maintain that sense of progress is to keep creating new victories. Another reason is fear. Once you've reached a goal, setting a bigger one can feel risky. You've proven yourself at this level, and moving higher means you might fail. But that's the point. Growth requires risk. If your next goal doesn't scare you at least a little, it's probably not big enough. Fear is a sign you're stretching beyond your comfort zone, and that's exactly where progress happens. Raising your standards also means upgrading your habits. If your old routines got you to your current goal, they might not be enough for the next one. You have to refine them. Maybe you need to train harder, study deeper, or manage your time better. Maybe you need to eliminate distractions you once tolerated. Higher goals demand higher habits, and the sooner you make those adjustments, the smoother your path will be. It's also important to surround yourself with people who challenge your new standards. When you level up, not everyone around you will be ready to do the same. Some will be comfortable staying where they are, and if you're not careful, their pace will slow yours down. Seek out those who are also raising their own standards, who push you to stay accountable, and who celebrate growth instead of fearing it. Another key to raising your standards is to measure your progress differently. At one stage, success might have been about just finishing the work. At the next, it might be about the quality, speed, or scale of your results. Constantly refine what you consider good enough until it challenges you again. That way, you never slip into autopilot. When you make raising your standards a habit, you stop living for short bursts of effort followed by long periods of coasting. Instead, you create a rhythm of continuous improvement. This rhythm keeps your skills sharp, your mind active, and your confidence high. You stop fearing whether you can maintain your position because you're always building the ability to go beyond it. Don't confuse this with never being satisfied. Satisfaction is important. You should take time to acknowledge your wins, but the difference is you don't live in that moment for too long. You appreciate it, then you move forward. You use it as fuel for what's next, instead of letting it be the final chapter. Think about the most successful people in any field. They're not where they are because they set one big goal and stopped. They kept moving the target higher. They stayed curious about their limits. They refused to let themselves become predictable or complacent. That's the mindset you need to develop. You can make this practical by building a habit of immediate reflection after achieving something. The moment you hit a goal, ask yourself, what's the next level of this? If you increased your savings, what's the new amount you want to hit? If you gained new clients, how will you double that? If you finished a project, what's the more complex version you can tackle next? Acting quickly on this question prevents you from slipping into stagnation. Another practical approach is to document your growth and track your capacity. Write down the habits, skills, and resources that helped you reach your current goal. Then write down what you'll need to double it. This keeps your mind focused on action instead of resting in achievement. You also need to be aware of the mental shift that happens when you set a new standard. You start to see opportunities differently. Things you once ignored now seem possible. Tasks that felt too hard before become necessary steps. Your mind adapts to the higher level because you've decided it's the new normal. That's why raising your standards is so powerful. It changes the way you think, which changes the way you act. The real danger in not raising your standards is invisible at first. You might still feel successful, but the gap between where you are and where you could be starts growing. Over time, that gap turns into regret. People look back years later and realize they could have done more, but they didn't push themselves when they had the chance. You can avoid that by deciding right now that every achievement is a starting point, not a stopping point. The beauty of this mindset is that it creates endless growth. There's no final destination, no single peak to reach and stop. You're always evolving. You're always challenging yourself. And with every goal you hit, you get stronger, smarter, and more capable. That's a life without wasted potential. So the moment you reach a goal, don't let the applause, the celebration, or the relief trick you into thinking it's time to slow down. Use that moment to step up. Use it to prove to yourself that success is not just about hitting one target. It's about creating a pattern of constantly raising your expectation. That's how you build a life of lasting progress. And that's how you make sure you're never limited by what you've already achieved. Chapter 4. Challenge yourself when life starts feeling too easy. When life starts to feel too easy, it's a sign that you've stopped pushing yourself. Comfort has a way of creeping in quietly. You get into a routine, you know how to handle every situation you face, and nothing really forces you to stretch anymore. At first, it feels good. You tell yourself you've earned the right to take it easy. But over time, that ease starts to weaken you. It removes the urgency, the drive, and the edge you once had. The truth is, growth doesn't happen when everything is smooth. Growth happens when you're challenged, when you have to rise above what's familiar and step into something that tests your limits. If you're not careful, comfort can turn into stagnation. You start repeating the same days over and over, getting a little slower, a little less sharp, without even realizing it. You tell yourself you're maintaining, but in reality, you're slipping. The world doesn't stay still. So if you're not moving forward, you're actually moving backward. That's why you need to create your own challenges before life forces them on you. Challenging yourself when things feel easy is a conscious decision. It's looking at your current situation and asking, what's the next difficult thing I can take on? Maybe it's a bigger project. Maybe it's learning a skill that's completely new to you. Maybe it's putting yourself in situations that make you uncomfortable. It's about refusing to settle for what you already know you can do. The danger of staying in the comfort zone is that it convinces you this is as far as you can go. You stop questioning whether you could be more, because everything feels good enough. But good enough has a hidden cost. It slowly kills the hunger that drives you to reach your real potential. You stop demanding more from yourself, and you start lowering your expectations without realizing it. One way to break out of that trap is to deliberately set goals that are just beyond your current capabilities. If you're used to finishing tasks easily, give yourself one that requires new learning. If you're used to working with a certain type of client, try working with one that forces you to adjust your approach. If your workouts feel too comfortable, increase the intensity until they feel challenging again. You need to feel a little bit of resistance every day, because resistance is what keeps you strong. Another sign that life is too easy is when your days all look the same. Same problems, same solutions, same level of effort. That's when it's time to shake things up. Not recklessly, but intentionally. Look for something that makes you think harder, work harder, and dig deeper. It could be taking on more responsibility, expanding your business, learning a new language, or committing to a fitness challenge. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it demands more from you than you're currently giving. There's a big difference between peace and ease. Peace is valuable. It's the result of living in alignment with your values. Ease, on the other hand, can be dangerous if it comes from avoiding anything difficult. If everything is easy, it's because you've stopped putting yourself in situations that require growth, and that's exactly when you need to change course. When you push yourself into new challenges, you awaken parts of yourself that comfort keeps asleep. You rediscover focus, creativity, problem-solving, and discipline. You're forced to think in ways you haven't before. That mental stretch is what keeps you sharp and adaptable. Without it, even small, unexpected problems can start to overwhelm you because you've lost the habit of handling difficulty. It's also important to understand that self-imposed challenges are often less painful than challenges life throws at you. If you challenge yourself regularly, you're training for whatever comes. You're building the habits, the resilience, and the mindset to handle setbacks without falling apart. But if you avoid difficulty for too long, when life inevitably brings it, you won't be ready. You can make this practical by scheduling challenges into your life. Every month, set a goal that stretches you. Every week, do something that makes you uncomfortable. Every day, find a way to improve a skill, increase your output, or expand your knowledge. The more you do this, the less likely you are to fall into the trap of thinking easy is the goal. Challenging yourself also means being willing to risk failure. That's one of the reasons people avoid it. They don't want to look foolish, make mistakes, or deal with the discomfort of not being good at something. But that's exactly where improvement lives, in the space between what you can do now and what you want to be able to do. Failure isn't a step backward if you use it to learn. It's a sign you're in the right zone for growth. When you choose to challenge yourself, you also send a message to your own mind that you're capable of more than your current circumstances. That confidence spills over into every area of your life. You stop doubting whether you can handle something because you've built a track record of handling what once seemed out of reach. If you run a business and it's operating smoothly, find the next big improvement you can make. If you're employed and your role feels easy, ask for new responsibilities that force you to learn. If your personal life is comfortable, try developing a new discipline. Waking up earlier, cooking healthier meals, or taking on a physical challenge. These aren't about making life harder for no reason. They're about staying prepared, engaged, and growing. A lot of people don't notice when they've stopped challenging themselves because the decline is gradual. They still feel busy, but they're busy with things that don't stretch them. They confuse activity with progress. The only way to catch it is to ask yourself regularly, when was the last time I did something that scared me a little? When was the last time I did something that took all my focus and effort? If you can't remember, it's been too long. Even small challenges can have a big effect. Trying a new skill, meeting new people, traveling somewhere unfamiliar. These experiences keep you alert and adaptable. They remind you that you can figure things out as you go, and that mindset is priceless when bigger challenges appear. You also have to be honest about why you might be avoiding challenges. Sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's laziness, and sometimes it's just the habit of choosing the easier path. Being aware of that tendency helps you make better choices. You can't fix what you won't acknowledge. If you've been coasting, now is the time to wake up. Comfort feels safe, but it's a slow trap. It lowers your standards and makes you accept less from yourself than you're capable of giving. The longer you stay there, the harder it is to break out. That's why it's so important to create difficulty before life forces it on you. Think of challenges as training for your future. Every tough situation you put yourself in today prepares you for the bigger ones tomorrow, and when they come, you won't be surprised or overwhelmed. You'll be ready. You'll have the strength, the skills, and the mindset to handle them, because you've been practicing all along. When life feels too easy, it's time to make it harder in a productive way. Not by creating problems, but by creating opportunities that demand more of you. Opportunities that force you to grow. Opportunities that make you better. That's how you stay sharp. That's how you keep progressing. And that's how you make sure you're never caught off guard when real challenges arrive.
Chapter 5. Stay hungry by remembering how it feels to have nothing. When you've experienced having nothing, you understand a kind of hunger that can't be taught in books or explained in motivational speeches. It's a hunger that comes from the quiet moments when you wonder how you're going to make it through the next day. It's the weight of uncertainty, the sting of rejection, and the frustration of watching others move forward while you feel stuck. Those memories, those moments when you felt like the world had passed you by, can be your greatest source of power if you choose to keep them close. They remind you why you can't stop, why you can't slow down, and why you can't let comfort dull your ambition. Too many people forget where they came from once things start going well. They get a better job, a better home, a better lifestyle, and slowly those memories of struggle fade. The problem with that is once you forget how it felt to have nothing, you risk losing the fire that got you moving in the first place. Success can make you soft if you let it. That's why you have to revisit those moments, not to feel pain again, but to keep your hunger alive. Think about a time when you had to fight for something as simple as paying your bills or getting an opportunity. Think about the nights you couldn't sleep because you didn't know how things would work out. Think about the times you wanted something badly but didn't have the means to get it. That version of you, hungry, determined, resourceful, was willing to do whatever it took. You can't afford to lose that part of yourself just because your situation is better now. Staying hungry isn't about living in the past, it's about using the past as a tool. When you face a challenge today and feel like giving up, remembering where you started can give you the push to keep going. You've already proven you can survive harder times. You've already shown yourself that you're capable of finding a way forward when there seemed to be none. That proof is a weapon, but only if you keep it sharp in your mind. One way to stay connected to that hunger is to deliberately step outside your comfort zone even when life is going well. Give yourself challenges that remind you of what it's like to work from nothing. Put yourself in situations where your skills and effort are the only things you can rely on. It keeps you humble and forces you to keep that same resourcefulness you had when everything was uncertain. You also have to guard yourself against entitlement. The moment you start thinking you deserve success, simply because you've had it before, you've set yourself up for a fall. The world doesn't operate on what you deserve. It operates on what you earn right now. If you've experienced having nothing, you know that every single thing you have today could disappear if you stop working for it. That knowledge should keep you sharp. Some of the hungriest people you'll ever meet are the ones who have tasted both extremes, having nothing and then building something. They understand the fragility of progress. They know what it feels like to lose, and they never want to feel that again. That's why they wake up earlier, work harder, and keep pushing long after others would stop. They're not just chasing success, they're protecting themselves from ever going back to the place they once were. There's also a deep gratitude that comes from remembering those times when you've been without. You appreciate every opportunity more. You don't waste time complaining about small inconveniences because you remember what real struggle feels like. That perspective makes you stronger, more focused, and less likely to take anything for granted. And the less you take for granted, the more you fight to keep and grow what you have. If you've ever been overlooked, underestimated or dismissed, you know how motivating it can be to prove people wrong. But the real power comes when you're not just proving it to them, you're proving it to yourself. You're showing the version of you that once had nothing, that you're not only capable of getting ahead, but of staying ahead. This mindset is about more than money or material thing. It's about control over your life. When you had nothing, maybe you had to depend on others for help. Or maybe you had no say in the direction your life was going. Now that you have more control, remembering that old feeling should push you to protect it fiercely. Because the moment you get too comfortable, you risk losing the independence you worked so hard to gain. To make this practical, you can start by regularly revisiting your old goals and struggles. Write them down. Keep reminders of where you were before, photos, journal entries, even old bills or pay stubs, if they motivate you. These aren't there to make you feel bad, they're there to remind you that you never want to go back. They're fuel. You should also set standards that reflect your hunger. If you once survived on the bare minimum, don't let yourself settle for just above that now. Keep raising the bar so that you're always striving for more than what you currently have. The hunger isn't just about avoiding loss, it's about chasing a bigger vision for your life. Sometimes you'll meet people who are still in the position you once were. Talking to them can be a powerful reminder of how far you've come and why you can't slow down. It's easy to forget the urgency of hunger when your own needs are met, but seeing it in someone else can bring it right back. Use that feeling to drive yourself forward. It's also worth remembering that life can change quickly. You could lose a job, a business, or an investment. You could face unexpected challenges. The people who navigate those situations best are the ones who never forgot what it was like to have nothing. They adapt quickly because they've been there before. They don't waste time feeling sorry for themselves. They get to work. The hunger you had when you had nothing came from necessity. Now you have to create it intentionally. That means constantly finding new reasons to push harder. It might be providing for your family, building a legacy, or simply proving to yourself that you can keep climbing. The reason doesn't matter as much as the intensity. Without that intensity, success can fade faster than you think. The most dangerous thing comfort can do is convince you that effort isn't urgent. That's when you start putting off action until tomorrow, then next week, then next month. Before you know it, the drive you once had is gone. The best way to fight that is to keep reminding yourself of what it felt like when the stakes were high and you couldn't afford to wait. When you've had nothing, you understand the value of every small step forward. You know that progress doesn't happen all at once. It's built in quiet moments when no one is watching. That understanding should make you relentless, because you know how costly it is to stand still. Keeping that hunger alive means holding yourself to a higher standard than the one comfort sets for you. Comfort will tell you you've done enough. Hunger will tell you there's still more to do. Comfort will tell you you've earned a break. Hunger will tell you to finish strong before you rest. You have to choose which voice you listen to. When you remember how it feels to have nothing, you remember the resourcefulness, the resilience, and the fight it took to get here. Those qualities are still in you, they just need to be called on every day. If you keep them alive, you'll never have to fear losing what you've built, because you'll always have the ability to rebuild it if necessary. The goal isn't to live in fear of going back, the goal is to stay motivated to keep moving forward. And the most reliable motivation you'll ever have is the memory of a time when you had nothing and decided you'd never stay there again. Keep that memory close, let it remind you that the hunger you had then is the same hunger you need now. That hunger is what will keep you sharp, focused, and ready for whatever comes next.
Chapter 6. Never let a good day make you slow down. A good day can be a dangerous thing if you don't handle it the right way. It feels rewarding, it feels satisfying, and it feels like confirmation that what you're doing is working. But that same feeling can trick you into easing up, into thinking you've earned the right to take it slow. That's the trap. When you start slowing down just because today went well, you set yourself up for tomorrow to be worse. Progress doesn't care about how good yesterday was. Momentum doesn't stop because you had one successful day. If anything, a good day should be your signal to push harder, not to take your foot off the gas. It's easy to get caught in the glow of accomplishment. You finish your work early, you close a deal, you reach a target, and you feel proud. Pride is fine, but pride can't be your stopping point. When you pause too long to enjoy the moment, you risk losing the rhythm that helped you get there in the first place. Success doesn't stay with you just because you had it once. It has to be renewed every day with fresh action. The truth is, most people lose their momentum not because of failure, but because of small victories that make them comfortable. They convince themselves that they're safe now, that they can coast for a while. But that's when habits start slipping. That's when standards start dropping. You skip a step today, you skip another tomorrow, and before you know it, you're back to struggling. You need to understand that one good day is not the final goal. It's just proof that you're capable of creating good days consistently. And consistency doesn't come from celebrating too long after one win. It comes from stacking those wins day after day, until they become normal for you. That's when you really start to transform your life. A good day should actually increase your urgency. If things are working well, it means your effort is paying off, and now is the time to double down. When you're in a streak of good performance, you're in the best position to build more, to tackle bigger challenges, and to take advantage of the momentum you've earned. Stopping to rest in the middle of that is like walking away from a fire while it's burning strong. You let it cool instead of letting it grow. You have to train your mind to see success as a beginning, not an ending. One win means you're ready for the next step, not that you've reached the top. The best athletes, leaders, and professionals understand this. They don't take long breaks just because they had a strong performance. They use that high point to push into the next one. They know momentum is a fragile thing. Once you break it, it takes more effort to start again than it would have taken to just keep going. When you have a good day, the temptation is to reward yourself in ways that slow you down. You might think, I did so well today, I can relax tomorrow, but that's how progress dies. Instead, reward yourself by building on the success, set a bigger goal for tomorrow, try to do even better, keep raising the bar while you're ahead. That's how you turn a good day into a good month, and a good month into a good year. It's also important to remember that your competition, whether it's other people or your own past self, doesn't stop because you had a win. The world keeps moving, and someone else is always working. If you stop, you're giving them the space to catch up or pass you. A good day should make you more aware of the fact that you've set a standard, and now you have to protect it. There's nothing wrong with celebrating small wins, but the celebration should never replace the work. Acknowledge your progress, feel proud for a moment, then ask yourself, what's next? That one question can keep you from falling into the trap of slowing down when things go well. The danger of letting a good day slow you down is that it teaches your mind to work in bursts instead of building a lasting work ethic. You become someone who performs well only when motivated by recent success, instead of someone who performs well every day, regardless of circumstances. The latter is where long-term results come from. You can make this mindset practical by creating a habit of end-of-day planning. At the end of every good day, write down exactly what you will do tomorrow to keep the momentum alive. Don't leave it to chance. This keeps you moving forward instead of waking up with no plan and letting your energy fade. Another way to avoid slowing down is to treat every day like a fresh start. Even if you had the best day of your life yesterday, today is still day one. Yesterday's work is already behind you. You can't live off that forever. This mindset keeps you focused on action, instead of on replaying old victories in your mind. Good days are also the perfect opportunity to push into areas you've been avoiding. If you're feeling strong and capable, that's the time to tackle the harder tasks you've been putting off. It's easy to waste good energy on easy work, but that energy is much better spent on something that challenges you. You also have to watch out for the mental trap of, I've done enough. That thought kills progress faster than anything. Doing enough to maintain is not the same as doing enough to grow. Growth happens when you stretch beyond the point where you feel safe. A good day should be the launchpad for that stretch. Sometimes, slowing down after a win isn't a conscious choice, it's a habit. You've been trained to see achievement as the end, so your brain naturally relaxes afterward. To change that, you have to deliberately connect wins to more work in your mind. When something goes well, your first thought should be, now I can go further. Repeating this over time rewires your response to success. You should also keep in mind that good days are rare in the beginning. If you waste them, you're wasting some of the most valuable chances you have to accelerate your progress. When you're just starting out, every bit of momentum matters more. Later, when success becomes more common, you'll have built the discipline to keep moving without hesitation. When you never let a good day make you slow down, you start building a streak of disciplined action. That streak builds confidence, and that confidence makes it easier to push yourself on days that aren't going as well. You realize that you're not dependent on mood or luck, you're driven by commitment. The real test of discipline isn't how hard you work when things are going wrong. It's how hard you work when things are going right. That's when people get careless, when they underestimate how quickly good times can end. The ones who keep building during good times are the ones who stay ahead when the bad times come. This mindset also keeps you from becoming arrogant. Success can make you feel untouchable if you let it, but when you see each win as just one step, you stay humble. You understand that one good day doesn't mean you've mastered the game, it means you've earned the chance to play at a higher level. Never letting a good day slow you down doesn't mean you can't enjoy your progress, it means you enjoy it while still moving forward. You don't freeze in the moment, you take it with you into the next action. You make the win part of a chain instead of letting it stand alone. If you apply this consistently, you'll notice that your definition of a good day will change. What once felt like a big win will become normal for you. And when that happens, you've raised your baseline for success without even realizing it. That's the power of building without slowing down. So when you have a good day, smile, be grateful, acknowledge the work it took to get there, but then get back to work, use the energy from the win to fuel the next push. Turn one success into many. That's how you build a life where good days aren't rare events, they're the standard you live by.
Chapter 7. Act like every opportunity could be your last chance. When an opportunity comes your way, you don't always get a second shot at it. Life doesn't guarantee repeats. You might think there will be another meeting, another introduction, another chance to prove yourself. But the truth is, some moments only happen once. If you don't give them everything you have, they slip away, and you may never see them again. That's why you have to act like every single opportunity is your last chance, because for all you know, it might be. When you treat every opportunity with that level of seriousness, you approach it differently. You prepare more. You pay attention to the detail. You give your full focus instead of dividing your attention between the task at hand and distractions that don't matter. You stop holding back and start showing people the best you can deliver. There's no room for "I'll do better next time," because you're not relying on there being a next time. Too many people waste opportunities by underestimating their importance. They assume it's just another day, another task, another meeting. They tell themselves they'll really show up when something bigger comes along. But what they don't realize is that big opportunities often hide inside the small ones. That one call you didn't take seriously could have led to a major breakthrough. That one person you didn't bother to connect with could have opened a door you've been chasing for years. Acting like every opportunity is your last doesn't mean living in fear. It means living with urgency. It's a mindset that refuses to waste time or take anything for granted. If you knew the thing you were doing right now was the only shot you'd get, would you still be doing it halfway? Would you still be scrolling through your phone while you were supposed to be paying attention? Would you still be delaying your best effort until later? Probably not. You can see the difference in people who think this way. They arrive early. They over-prepare. They ask better questions. They listen more than they speak. They follow up immediately. They treat everyone with respect, whether or not that person looks like they can offer them something in return. And because they show up fully, they create more opportunities for themselves, even when they don't realize it in the moment. Opportunities are fragile, they don't always announce themselves clearly, and they don't wait around for you to feel ready. They appear, and then they move on to someone else, who is willing to seize them. If you're not ready when they arrive, you can't go back and rewind time. That's why preparation is so critical. You have to live in a way that keeps you ready to say yes without hesitation when a chance comes your way. Sometimes an opportunity is disguised as hard work. It might look like a project no one else wants to take on, or a job that seems too demanding. Many people pass on it because they're waiting for something easier. But if you think like someone who may never get another shot, you jump on it. You take it as a chance to prove yourself, to grow, to show you can handle more than people expect. Other times, an opportunity is disguised as a challenge you don't feel completely ready for. That's when most people hesitate. They think, "I need more time to prepare," and while they're waiting, the moment disappears. If you act like it's your last chance, you step up anyway. You figure it out as you go. You trust that you'll rise to the occasion, because you know you can't afford to pass it up. This mindset also eliminates excuses. If something is your last chance, you don't waste time explaining why you can't do it. You find a way to make it happen. You rearrange your schedule. You learn what you need to learn. You put in the extra hours. You stop waiting for the perfect conditions, because you know they may never arrive,
Living this way also builds a reputation. People start to notice that you take everything seriously, that you give your best effort every time. They see you as someone who can be counted on, someone who doesn't waste what they're given. And when people see you that way, they give you more chances, not fewer. It's also worth remembering that some opportunities aren't about you directly. They're about the people who depend on you. Missing a chance doesn't just affect your life, it can affect your family, your team, your business, or anyone who relies on you. That alone should make you treat each one with the weight it deserves. One of the most dangerous mindsets you can have is thinking that chances are unlimited. When you believe that, you get lazy. You start showing up halfway because you think you can make up for it later. But life doesn't work that way. You might not get the same door twice. Even if something similar comes along, it won't be exactly the same. The people involved will be different, the timing will be different, and the potential outcome will be different. When you act like every opportunity could be your last, you also stop comparing them. You don't waste time thinking, this one isn't as big as the one I wanted. Instead, you give the current opportunity everything you have, because you understand that even small ones can change your life if you handle them well. The reality is, most turning points in life don't look dramatic in the moment. They look ordinary until you look back and realize they were the start of something big. That's why you can't afford to treat anything as unimportant. If it crosses your path, there's a reason for it, and it's your job to give it the attention it deserves. You can train yourself to think this way, by imagining the cost of missing out. Before you decide to give less than your best, picture the regret you'd feel if you knew this was the last time you'd get this chance. Picture watching someone else succeed with the opportunity you let pass by. If that thought stings, use it to push yourself to act differently. It's not about being tense or anxious all the time. It's about showing respect for the moments that could shape your life. When you respect them, you treat them with care. You prepare, you execute, and you follow through. And even if the outcome isn't exactly what you hoped, you know you gave yourself the best possible shot. The beautiful thing about living this way is that even if it turns out the opportunity wasn't your last, you've built the habit of giving your all. That habit compounds over time. It changes the way people see you, it changes the way you see yourself, and it changes the results you're able to create. When you build that habit, you start to realize that you don't have to wait for big breaks to make progress. You can create your own breaks by treating every moment like it matters. The smallest meeting, the smallest chance, the smallest task, all of them become training for the bigger things to come. There will always be people who waste opportunities because they think they'll get them back. You can separate yourself instantly by refusing to do the same. Show up like this is it. Like you won't get another try. Speak up in the meeting. Send the email today. Follow through on the commitment you made. Don't just show interest. Show commitment through action. If you approach life with that urgency, you'll rarely have to wonder what if. You'll know you did everything you could with what you were given. And when you do that consistently, you'll find that the so-called last chances turn into new beginnings. Because one opportunity well handled often leads to another. So from now on, whatever comes your way, no matter how big or small, give it your full attention, your full effort, and your full focus. Work on it like it will never come again. Because the truth is, some of them won't, and you'll never regret giving too much, but you'll always regret giving too little.
Chapter 8. Keep chasing goals that scare you to miss out. The goals that make your heart race a little faster are the ones worth chasing. If the thought of missing out on them makes you uneasy, that's a sign they matter. They're not the easy, safe, or predictable kind. They're the ones that demand more from you than you've ever given before. They require late nights, early mornings, tough decisions, and the willingness to stretch beyond what's comfortable. These are the goals that separate the people who live a life of constant growth from the people who stay in the same place year after year. When a goal scares you to miss out, it's because deep down you know it could change everything.
It might not be convenient, it might not be guaranteed, and it might not even seem realistic at first. But you can't shake the feeling that if you don't go after it, you'll regret it. That kind of goal has power over you, not in a way that traps you, but in a way that fuels you. It keeps you awake at night, thinking about what it would mean to achieve it. It pushes you to do things you wouldn't normally do. The mistake many people make is letting that fear of missing out turn into hesitation instead of action. They keep thinking about the goal, planning for it, and imagining it, but they never fully commit. They tell themselves they'll start when things settle down, when they feel more confident, or when they have more resources. But those delays are exactly how you lose the opportunity. The window starts to close, and before you know it, the goal you once felt so strongly about becomes just another what if in your mind. To avoid that, you have to treat the fear of missing out as a call to move now. That doesn't mean you act recklessly, it means you start making real progress before your mind talks you out of it. Even a small action today is better than waiting for the perfect conditions that never arrive. Chasing goals that scare you to miss out also means accepting that the journey won't be easy. If the goal is big enough to change your life, it's big enough to challenge you in ways you haven't experienced before. There will be moments when you question whether you can do it. There will be setbacks that make you wonder if it's worth it. But those are signs you're in the right territory. If it were easy, it wouldn't hold the same weight. The advantage of going after these kinds of goals is that they bring out parts of you that would otherwise stay dormant. They force you to become more disciplined, more focused, and more resourceful. You have to think differently, work differently, and carry yourself differently to match the level of the goal, and in the process, you grow into someone who is capable of much more than you were before. Another important thing to understand is that goals like these often come with deadlines you can't control. The opportunity may not always be available. The market might change, the people involved might move on, or your own circumstances might shift. That's why the fear of missing out is valuable. It reminds you that the clock is ticking, and you can't assume you have unlimited time to act. You can make this mindset practical by identifying the goals that make you feel this way and ranking them by urgency. Which ones would you feel the worst about losing? Which ones would keep you awake at night if someone else achieved them before you? Those are the ones to prioritize. Once you know them, break them into actionable steps and start moving immediately. It's also important to protect yourself from distractions that pull you away from these goals. Not everything deserves your attention. You might have to say no to smaller opportunities, even if they're easier, because they take time and energy away from the ones that truly matter. The goals that scare you to miss out should get your best focus, not your leftover effort. There's also a psychological shift that happens when you commit fully to these goals. You start looking for ways to make them happen instead of excuses for why they might fail. You stop focusing on the obstacles and start focusing on the actions you can take. That shift alone can accelerate your progress more than anything else. Chasing big goals comes with risk, but it also comes with rewards far greater than comfort can provide. Even if you don't hit the exact target, you'll still end up much further than if you had aimed small. And often, the process of going after the goal teaches you things and connects you with people that open doors you didn't even see before. You'll also notice that your confidence grows the more you pursue these goals. Confidence doesn't come from thinking about what you want, it comes from moving toward it every single day. When you start to see progress, even small wins, it reinforces the belief that you can actually do this. That belief fuels more action, and the cycle keeps building. Another powerful benefit of going after goals that scare you to miss out is that they make your life feel urgent and purposeful. You wake up with a reason to get moving. You feel alive in a way that routine and predictability can't give you. And that sense of purpose has a ripple effect. It spills into your work, your relationships, and your overall mindset. Some people will tell you to be realistic, to lower your expectations, or to focus on something more achievable. That advice often comes from a place of fear, their own fear of what might happen if they aimed higher and failed. But you're not here to live someone else's version of say. You're here to go after the things that matter to you, even if they make you nervous. When you chase goals that scare you to miss out, you also learn how to handle pressure better. You stop avoiding high-stakes situations and start leaning into them. You realize that pressure isn't the enemy. It's a sign you're doing something important, and the more you face it, the more comfortable you become operating under it. To stay committed, you can create reminders of why the goal matters. Write it down where you can see it daily. Picture what your life will look like if you achieve it, and picture what it will look like if you don't. That contrast keeps the urgency alive and helps you push through the days when motivation is low. At some point, you have to accept that chasing these goals will change you. You won't be the same person at the end of the journey as you were at the start. That's the whole point. The goal is just the destination. The real reward is the growth, the resilience, and the strength you develop along the way. And here's the truth. If you keep avoiding the goals that scare you to miss out, you'll eventually wake up with a life that feels smaller than it could have been. You'll have fewer stories to tell, fewer experiences to look back on, and more regrets about the chances you didn't take. Regret weighs far more than failure ever will. So keep chasing the ones that matter so much they make you restless. Keep going after the ones that force you to grow. Don't wait until the timing is perfect or the fear goes away. The fear is part of the process. It's proof that the goal is worth it. The only way to silence that fear is through action, and the only way to make sure you don't miss out is to start now and refuse to stop.
Chapter 9. Remind yourself that comfort kills every dream over time. Comfort feels safe, but it's one of the most dangerous places you can live in. It gives you the illusion that you're secure, that you've done enough, and that you can take your foot off the gas. It whispers to you that there's no need to push harder, no need to take risks, no need to demand more from yourself. And at first, it feels good. The stress fades, the pressure eases, and life becomes predictable. But slowly, without warning, that comfort starts to take away your hunger. It steals your urgency, your drive, and your willingness to grow. Over time, it kills every dream you once had. Not in an instant, but in small, unnoticed steps. The most dangerous part about comfort is that it doesn't feel dangerous in the moment. It feels like a reward. You've worked hard, you've made progress, and now you can relax a little. You tell yourself you've earned it, and maybe you have, but the truth is, dreams are not kept alive by what you did yesterday. They survive only if you keep feeding them today. Comfort convinces you that what you've done is enough, and that's how it starts to destroy your future. Dreams require momentum. They need constant action to grow and survive. The second you stop feeding them with effort, they begin to fade. Not because they weren't possible, but because you allowed them to sit in the background while you enjoyed being comfortable. You can't expect a dream to stay alive when you're giving it less energy than you once did. People often think that failure is the biggest killer of dreams. It's not. Comfort is. Failure can teach you, push you, and motivate you to come back stronger. Comfort does none of that. Comfort slowly drains you of your desire to get back up and try again. It convinces you that the fight isn't worth it, tells you you've already done enough, and that you can settle for where you are. It's easy to spot when you've fallen into this trap. You stop setting new goals, you stop learning, you avoid challenges because they feel unnecessary. You focus on maintaining what you have instead of building something better. You spend more time in routines that don't push you, and less time in situations that demand growth. At first, it feels harmless, but over time it becomes a habit. That habit becomes your life, and before you know it, years have passed without any real progress toward the things you once wanted.
The truth is, no one drifts into greatness by staying comfortable. Every person who has achieved something meaningful has done it by stepping into situations that scared them, stretched them, and forced them to adapt. They understood that comfort might feel good in the moment, but it leads to regret in the long run. They knew that if they didn't keep pushing, someone else would. You can protect yourself from comfort by reminding yourself daily that it's temporary satisfaction at the cost of long-term achievement. Think about what you want 5 or 10 years from now. Then ask yourself if the level of effort you're giving today will get you there. If the answer is no, then comfort has already started its work. One of the best ways to break out of comfort is to deliberately seek challenge. Take on projects that require more than you think you can give. Say yes to opportunities that intimidate you. Learn skills that feel complicated at first. Put yourself in situations where you're not the most experienced or the most knowledgeable. Those situations might feel uncomfortable at first, but they're exactly what keep you alive inside. Comfort also kills dreams because it makes you forget the urgency you once had. When you were starting out, you probably worked harder because you had something to prove, something to build, something to fight for. Once you reach a certain level, that urgency fades, if you're not careful. The only way to keep it alive is to act as if you're still chasing, not as if you've already caught everything you need. There's a simple truth you can't ignore: if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. Life doesn't stop, and neither does the competition. New opportunities, new technologies, and new ideas are constantly appearing. If you stay still because you're comfortable, you'll eventually find yourself irrelevant. That's why you have to keep building, keep learning, and keep improving, even when it feels like you don't have to. Think about the people you admire most. They didn't stop when they reached a comfortable level, they kept setting higher standards. They refused to coast. They treated every stage of their journey as if they were still just getting started. That's what kept them sharp and ahead of everyone else who was willing to settle. Another danger of comfort is that it changes your mindset. When you're comfortable, you start looking for ways to protect what you have instead of ways to grow. You avoid risk, even small ones, because you don't want to lose your current position. That mindset kills creativity and innovation. It keeps you from seeing bigger possibilities because you're too focused on holding on to what's already there. To fight this, you have to constantly remind yourself why you started in the first place. Think about the excitement you felt when you first began chasing your dream. Think about the vision you had for your life. Then ask yourself if the choices you're making now align with that vision, or if they're just protecting your comfort. The more you feed comfort, the more it demands. At first, you might tell yourself you'll take a short break before getting back to work. But then that break extends, and suddenly you've lowered your standards, without even realizing it. You're no longer aiming for what you once wanted. You're aiming for what feels easy, and what feels easy rarely leads to anything extraordinary. You also have to remember that the world around you is full of hungry people who are willing to work harder than you, if you let them. Comfort makes you forget that. It blinds you to the fact that while you're relaxing, someone else is out there training, learning, and preparing to take your spot. Not because they're smarter or more talented, but because they stayed hungry while you got comfortable. Breaking out of comfort means being honest about where you're holding back. It means asking yourself if you're avoiding the next step because it's unnecessary or because it's uncomfortable. If it's the second one, that's your signal to act. Growth never comes without discomfort. If you're too comfortable, you're not growing, and if you're not growing, your dreams are slowly fading. This isn't about working non-stop without rest. Rest is necessary, but comfort is different from rest. Rest is intentional recovery, so you can come back stronger. Comfort is avoidance disguised as satisfaction. One fuels you, the other drains you. You have to know the difference. Every dream you have will demand more of you than your current comfort allows. If you want to keep that dream alive, you have to outgrow your comfort zone again and again. The minute you stop, the dream starts dying, even if you can't see it yet. So remind yourself daily that comfort isn't your friend, it's the quiet enemy of every big ambition you have. Let that reminder push you into action, into growth, into situations that keep you sharp. Comfort will try to convince you it's enough, but you know better. You know that the life you want will never be built by doing only what feels easy.
Chapter 10. Stay moving forward before life forces you to change. The smartest move you can make in life is to keep advancing before circumstances leave you with no choice. Waiting until life forces you to change is the same as handing over control of your future. When you see people scrambling in a crisis, making desperate moves, and trying to fix problems under pressure, it's almost always because they ignored the signs that change was needed. They kept telling themselves they had time, that things were fine, that they could adjust later. But later doesn't always come on your terms. Sometimes later comes as a sudden job loss, a health scare, a broken relationship, or an opportunity you're not ready for. The key is to move forward when you still have the freedom to choose, not when you're backed into a corner. Staying in motion means refusing to let comfort, routine, or fear slow you down. It means always looking for the next step, even when things are going well. People think they can wait until there's a clear reason to change, but the truth is, by the time the reason is obvious, it's often too late to make a smooth transition. Life changes fast, and it rarely sends you a warning before it shifts. If you're not already in the habit of moving forward, you'll get caught off guard. When you keep progressing, you stay ahead of problems. You're building skills, making connections, improving your health, growing your finances, and strengthening your mindset before you absolutely need to. Then, when life throws something unexpected your way, you're prepared. You don't have to start from scratch, you've already been building the foundation. That preparation is what allows some people to handle challenges calmly, while others panic. The danger in standing still is that it feels harmless. You're not failing, you're not struggling, and you're not in pain. So you think you're fine. But while you're standing still, the world around you is moving. The economy changes, technology advances, competition grows, your own body and mind evolve with age. If you're not adapting ahead of time, you'll be forced to make drastic changes all at once, and those changes will feel far harder because you resisted them for so long. This is why you have to develop the mindset of moving forward as a normal part of life. It shouldn't take a disaster to make you improve your health. It shouldn't take a financial crisis to make you learn how to manage your money. It shouldn't take a missed opportunity to make you start networking. If you're only reacting when life forces you to, you're playing from behind. And playing from behind is exhausting. Some people will tell you they work better under pressure, but that's usually because they haven't experienced the difference between forced urgency and chosen urgency. Forced urgency is stressful, it limits your options, and makes you take shortcuts. Chosen urgency is powerful, it allows you to act strategically, make better decisions, and pace yourself in a way that leads to lasting results. When you move forward before you have to, you're taking control of your growth. You decide what areas to focus on, what skills to learn, and what opportunities to pursue. You're steering the direction of your life instead of letting outside events steer it for you. You're not waiting for a wake-up call, you're giving yourself one every day. That doesn't mean you have to make huge leaps all the time. Even small, consistent steps keep you ahead of the curve. Reading a little each day builds knowledge. Saving a little each month builds financial security. Improving your fitness gradually strengthens your health. These small steps might not feel urgent now, but they add up to a huge advantage when the unexpected happens.
There's also an emotional strength that comes from living this way. People who move forward consistently are more adaptable because they're used to change. They don't resist it, they expect it, they see it as part of life, not as an interruption. This adaptability is one of the most valuable traits you can have, because no matter how much you plan, life will always throw you situations you didn't predict. If you've ever been in a position where life forced you to change, you know how overwhelming it can be. You're not just dealing with the change itself, you're also dealing with the regret of knowing you could have acted sooner. That regret can be heavy. The good news is, you can avoid it entirely by refusing to stand still for too long. If you've achieved a goal, set the next one. If you've reached a level of skill, find a way to improve it. If things feel stable, ask yourself what could be better. One of the easiest ways to stay moving forward is to stay curious. Learn new things even if you don't have an immediate use for them. Explore new places, meet new people, expose yourself to ideas outside your usual environment. The more you feed your curiosity, the more natural it becomes to take steps forward without waiting for a crisis to push you. You also have to be honest about the areas of your life where you've been coasting. Maybe it's your career, where you've been doing just enough to get by. Maybe it's your health, where you've been ignoring small warning signs. Maybe it's your relationships, where you've been avoiding difficult conversations. These are the exact areas that life will eventually force you to deal with, if you don't take the initiative yourself. Moving forward before life forces you to change isn't about being restless or never feeling content, it's about being proactive. It's about protecting your future by making improvements today, while you still have the time, energy and freedom to do it on your term. The longer you wait, the fewer options you'll have. Another important part of this mindset is being willing to let go of what's no longer serving you. Sometimes, moving forward means leaving behind habits, routines or even people that are holding you back. It's not always easy, but it's necessary if you want to make space for what's ahead. If you wait until you're forced to make those changes, you'll be doing it under pressure, which makes it much harder. There's a certain pride that comes from knowing you're ahead of the curve. You don't have to scramble to catch up because you've been preparing all along. You can handle challenges calmly because you've built the skills, the mindset and the discipline to deal with them. That's the reward for staying in motion. If you look at the people who seem to handle life's changes best, it's not because they're luckier, it's because they've been putting in the work when no one was watching. They didn't need a crisis to make them take action. They acted because they understood that life never stays the same. And it's far better to change on your own than to be pushed into it. So ask yourself today, are you moving forward or are you waiting for life to push you? If you're waiting, you're giving up control. If you're moving forward, you're building a future on your own terms. And that's the difference between constantly reacting and consistently creating. Don't let the next big change in your life be the one you had no choice in making. Stay moving. Stay learning, and stay improving now, while you still get to decide the direction. Because once life decides for you, you might not like the path it chooses.